Blog Talk Radio.
You know, it's interesting. We're selling our apartment in the city, and the tenants won't get out. And so we're in a lawsuit to get them out. It's very
That's
hard
a problem.
In the city. Yeah, it's a big problem. And it's therefore we don't have all the freedom, you know, that we expected to have by now.
Got it.
So it's kind of been a catalyst, though, to action, because what we're thinking of doing is selling our place in Palm Springs, cashing it out, and buying a new place in Palm Springs that's lesser, but doing it immediately. Immediately to us means the summer. I don't mean today. But it was like dragging
right.
on. We were going to retire next year, 6 months, you know, all kinds of crap. So it almost is accelerating things. The problem is almost accelerating things because we're kind of tired of it hanging around.
I get
and,
it.
So it's kind of interesting. I mean, it's just it's like we have to break so many eggs, we may as well break all the eggs.
You might as well, exactly.
And everything
seems
kind of enticing out there. I don't know. There's new festivals, new things to live in, you know, into.
Well, it is a pleasant place to live.
Yeah.
And
here,
and if you,
it's not pleasant.
Well, it's but January is a bad time to evaluate the Northeast.
That is true. Particularly when you have been in the Northeast in January for years. I really didn't expect
exactly.
it.
Exactly.
You knew.
Exactly.
I didn't.
I just got lucky, that's all. I mean, it was a complete fluke that I've lived here as long as I have.
What are you doing these days, and how do you want me to tell the world of what you're doing?
Well, you know, I would say the biggest thing I'm doing right now is working with you in terms of figuring out the flavors of senior living.
Right. Well, I love to talk about that.
I mean, that's one thing, and it's also there's this concept of wellness real estate that I came across in October in Florida, and it was a big topic that predominated the discussion on healthy living and healthy workspaces, and it's interesting because 20 years ago Canyon Ranch did that and it was considered revolutionary.
Okay,
and now it's becoming much more mainstream. Wellness real estate.
Well, how do you want me to introduce you? Because I'm still working with Ronald Gelock, I can't say Anderson and Berg. I could say your company. And
right. Well,
say
Anderson,
that you're a leader in the spa industry, hospitality, wellness, and all that. I know all the narrative, but is there a title
right.
you want me to use?
You know, I am just the principal and the principal founder of Anderson and Associates, which is a consultancy platform. Blah blah blah.
Okay, the Stuart just interrupted me. The principal of Anderson.
Founder
of
and Associates.
Anderson and Associates, very, very good.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, good. Stuart, I'm ready. Now, what? Stuart just got a weird email. Just give us 1 second to look at it, okay?
Sure.
It's all online? Alright, so why don't we just do the show and get on it and see what happens. Alright, we're ready to rock and roll. 10 seconds of silence. Okay. And we're gonna be hanging up as soon as we're finished with the show. Now I'll call you later to talk, okay, Peter?
Okay. Sounds great.
Okay.
When I look in the mirror, I don't see wrinkles.
When I look in the mirror, I see hair on my head, not my shoulder.
And hello, hello, hello. This is Adrienne Berg, and this is Generation Bold, the Fountain of Truth. And I have with me today as a guest for our entire show one of my most favorite people on the planet. And he will, you've heard him before, but he will be your most favorite as well. His name is Peter Anderson. He's the founder of Anderson & Associates. He hails from the West Coast, beautiful Santa Monica. And I've done a lot of work with him through the years because he is a leading expert and a worldwide expert on your favorite topic, how to be healthy, how to be beautiful, how to luxuriate, how to live your best life through this melding of wellness, spa activities, hospitality, and senior living and lifestyle all at the same time. A consultant to many, many companies, many of which you know, you've seen, and we're going to be talking about some interesting things, cutting-edge things. So thank you so much for being with us today, Peter. It's such a pleasure to talk to you each time.
Well, I'm delighted to be here. Thank you.
All right, so we have four segments that we're going to be together, and we're going to kind of parcel them out. And I want to start now with a concept, because you're always bringing us new concepts. This concept of wellness real estate or wellness realty, what does it mean from a business point of view, but what does it mean to us in our own lives and for the future of our aging and thriving?
Well, you know, historically, we have chosen places to live based on the amenities, the facilities, things that speak to our needs as you know, citizens of a community. But wellness real estate, from a consumer's perspective, is really is selecting environments that are designed to enhance your own personal well-being. And in many ways, they're not revolutionary. In many ways, it's a very matter-of-fact kind of integration. For instance, choosing a community that has sidewalks, as opposed to there are some communities where pedestrian traffic is discouraged, and you can see that as people's front lawns go right to the street. And it's not as if you can't walk in those, but you're not invited to. You flip that on its head and you look at an environment or a residential area where there are a lot of sidewalks and there are nodes of activity in terms of town centers, and the community is basically saying, get out, walk on the streets, meet your neighbors. I mean, you get the benefits of the aerobics from walking. You get the benefits from social contact. And so all of a sudden that becomes one small sliver of a wellness environment. So as I said, it's not as if there's something that is particularly cutting edge, but it's a thoughtful design that incorporates the needs of the individuals. And as we get older, our needs change. Our need for community, the size and shape of our families, the how we connect, is modified based on a whole lot of different factors. And so having a community that can understand that and address it proactively is wellness real estate. Now,
here's a true story that reminded me of you yesterday and just what you're talking about. I was actually in a car with a friend of mine, and we had just come back from a very well-known chain gym. Now, she's a personal trainer. She's over 60, and she was my personal trainer when I was 50 and has been ever since. So we came home in the car, and her son called, and her son was in Australia. And I know that you go to wellness and spa conferences all over the world, and one of them is Australia. And he said, Ma, I've never been to Australia before, but I can tell you this. They exercise more than we do because, you know, she's a wellness coach, and he's he's actually from California, very handsome guy, young guy, about 32, and very fit. And she says, what do you mean? How do you know that? You just landed. He said, well, while I was walking through the park and Bondi Beach and to the hotel, there were outdoor exercise stands all over the place. Now, we have a couple of them, he said, in our parks, and I live in California. We have some on the beach, but I never saw anything like this. Anybody and everybody was exercising. Is that the kind of thing you mean where it just becomes an organic part of your environment?
Well, absolutely. And it can be enhanced as well. I mean, you have things like your fitness stations, and you can do a circuit. You can meet your friends and do a circuit. You can do, for instance, all 18 stations, or you can do 4 or 5 of them. So it becomes part of the social fabric where you don't have to buy a membership. You don't have to live behind a gated community to have access to these kinds of things. This is really about recreation at its basic level that is supported either by the developer or by the community in which you're living. Now, the interesting part of that is...
Well, actually, what I was going to say was, everything is resonating almost like one piece to me as we're talking. I was just on the phone with a realtor, and that realtor was in a gated community, somebody who sells from a very large gated community, also in Southern California, and they're talking about the amenities. And the amenities were very good. It was not an over 55 community, but it had a lot of those features where there's a clubhouse, there's exercise, there are club, walking clubs, things like that. However, it is behind closed doors. It's not part of the fabric of, let's say, Palm Springs or the town. It was built. It's purpose-built and behind closed walls. Are we saying that this idea of the over 55 community or the purpose-built gated community might be rethought to something where open spaces, open communities could be having some of these things, and that's the new idea of wellness realty or wellness development? I don't know.
Well, it takes a lot of different levels. In fact, it's not to democratize the concept that now all of a sudden everybody needs to have access to a wellness community. But clearly, in a utopian society, all communities would be wellness based. But we're getting there slowly, taking it from the social R&D, where at one point it was the purview of the wealthiest and the most privileged and the ones with the greatest access. Developers are realizing that these amenities sell homes, they sell work environments, they sell office buildings, and so they add there's a great value add to incorporating this that is good not only for the user, but it's good for the developer. We looked at, and probably the earliest example that comes to mind is Canyon Ranch. Canyon Ranch built their development in Miami, residential development with 100,000 square foot spa and wellness center. And this was back probably 15 or 20 years ago. It's been a while. And at the time, they had nutritionists and they had personal coaches and they had all sorts of lifestyle amenities that had not been embraced by the community. I mean, it was a revolutionary concept. What they discovered is that they had hired a third-party independent group to evaluate the efficacy of this from a sales perspective. They realized they were getting a 25% premium on their real estate based on the enhanced amenities, because people wanted to be in a community where they had access to these kinds of amenities and they couldn't get it anywhere else.
So money talks, and therefore, as we register, as our listeners, as my audience says to the developers that if they're looking for a new home, or the builders if they're building a home, or the renovators if they're renovating a home, or choosing communities if they're moving for retirement, which many of my listeners are, your voice is being heard. If you are willing to pay a premium to live in an area where that is walkable, an area where the food on the shelves in the local supermarket is healthier as well as delicious, if you have healthcare access that's speedy and you have a real medical home, it's going to get built, and it's not just going to get built for us boomers or mature or elders, but it's going to get built across the board. Now, when we come back, I want to pick Peter's brain in a whole other area that fascinates me, and that is this whole idea of wellness in the world of hospitality. I love to travel. According to the AARP, Peter, 84% of all people retiring say that their number one goal after retirement is to travel. And we know that you've got your finger on the pulse of the hospitality. hospitality industry, not just the housing industry, as to what's new there. One of them, of course, we'll talk about is wellness rooms. That's kind of interesting. But what else is happening? There's a lot going on with that kind of model for what they now call mature travel. Something that, you know, used to be just relegated to cruise ships is not the case anymore. When we come back, we'll talk about that. We'll also talk about what's new at the spa. The beauty treatments that
Great.
Used to be medical, you know, is becoming something that's more environmental, more organic, and cheaper, too. So we'll be talking about all these things because it's really hard to get one person like Peter Anderson, who's a triple threat, wellness, beauty, and, of course, hospitality. Don't go anywhere. You're going to have a great time.
Because I am happy, and I freely admit I'm inappropriate for my age. Da-da-da-da.
So, we're ready, really. What I'm doing is I'm rushing through our in-betweens because we're off now, so it's just rebooting everything. And we'll start with the wellness rooms and we'll go into the beauty. Because right before I sat down with this, I got an email from my office that they wanted me to be a panelist on a webinar. And it's like a tool, so I have to make it happen. We're
okay.
ready, Stu. Be quiet. 10 seconds of quiet, okay.
You may think that I'm full of it, but that doesn't bother me, not even a bit, because I am happy, and I freely admit I'm inappropriate for my age.
And hello, hello, hello. This is Adrienne Berg, and this is Generation Bold, the Fountain of Truth. And one of the things that we know about the mature travel market, that's us, by the way, if you want to know what they call you, behind your back, is that we do travel. We are the ambassadors of the world, but we do have, particularly when we get into our 80s, you know, people in their 60s and 70s are traveling like kids. I'm just doing an article for my latest blog on birding. And, I mean, the birders that we're talking about in their 50s, 60s, and even 70s, they're climbing mountains to bird. Don't think of, you know, somebody with just the binoculars and the big hat and they're worried about the mosquitoes. No. First, they hike, then they climb, then they row, then they look at a bird. So we're very active travelers. We are a different kind of traveler. Nevertheless, wellness is a big buzzword in the field of hospitality, and one of the leaders in that actually is Peter Anderson, who is the founder of Anderson and Associates and a consultant. It's very likely what he's going to tell people you want, you're going to see in your next hotel. So it's important. So what is going on with these wellness rooms and these different things that you talk to me about all the time?
Well, I mean, the hospitality industry understands that travel now is a way of life as opposed to a one-off kind of thing that their consumers indulge in. And so historically, when someone would travel, it would be rich desserts and sleeping in and, you know, a lot of pampering. And while that's still an option, a lot of hotel companies, especially some of the major brands, realize that that's not what the mainstream regular traveler wants. They want to be able to adhere to the kind of life they have at home with the perks of travel. So therefore, it's healthy eating. And in the food and beverage departments in many hotels, we're seeing a renaissance of food that is not only delicious, but is good for you. You know, food is medicine. Food is energy. Food is, you know, a staple core to fuel your well-being. So menus that are designed to entice you are also designed to help you feel fit so you don't get the vacation bloat, that you don't come home and say, I've got to get back onto my program. You stay on your program while you're in a hotel. When you go to a guest room, you know, triple purified air and vitamin C infused showers and full spectrum lighting to combat jet lag and plants to help with the detoxification in your room are all amenities that companies look at in terms of creating environments that are going to promote a healthy stay for the guest. And while it may not revolutionize their lifestyle patterns, it's certainly going to support the ones that people have. And the market is embracing that aggressively because it's good. It feels good. It's good for you.
Yeah, and you know, you're right. Vacation used to be a stop. It stopped everything. It was a time to indulge. It was very hedonistic. And I do credit my generation that they can't quite do that anymore. It's not so easy to indulge in everything and anything and then end up coming back home and having to start from scratch at the gym and start from scratch in your diet and your cholesterol and your diabetes and all these things. You can't take a vacation from health anymore. And I think some younger people still don't want to do that, but when we were younger, we kind of could take a vacation from health, so to speak. But I was fascinated, Peter, when you said to me that some of this started in all places, Vegas, and the wellness rooms in Vegas, which used to be just the opposite. They would have no sunlight. They would rev you up so you could gamble all night long. And all of a sudden, they're the beginning of these wellness rooms. Tell us a little bit about the wellness rooms and how popular they are.
Well, the wellness rooms are retrofitted by a firm that specialized in creating healthy indoor environments. And the firm basically had operates off of the premise that there was a time, you know, in our evolution where we lived outside. We now spend 95% of our life indoors. So why not make indoors as healthy as it can be? And they started working with workplace and then with guest rooms and effectively the hotel. They were looking at hotels and had an average rate of about $150 a night. And what they realized is they did a pilot program and they converted about 100 rooms. And for a $30 upcharge, which is significant off of a $150 rate, the market elected to have a healthy opt for a healthy room with shower beds that would have reflexology stones in them. So as you're standing in the shower, waking up in the morning, you're walking around, actually having your feet massaged in a therapeutic way. Lots of small things like this became very popular, and so the market, the least obvious markets you would think, Las Vegas, became this kind of bastion of these healthy hotel rooms. And not only were they so popular that people were clamoring for them, but they had to significantly increase their inventory of these rooms because they, you know, because the market was telling them that this was something that they not only liked, but they were willing to pay for. And that's an enormous endorsement when people speak with their wallets.
Now, and they also speak with their age, their aging, because about 2 years ago, I began to go to a hotel called Even, E-V-E-N. I know you're very familiar with the chain. And they are rooms, they're kind of bare-bone-ish. These are no luxury, but they have the gym in your room. Everybody's got a place to lift weights, to go on a ball, and they have, of course, a television with a coach. And you can watch in your own room and be coached. And they have a gym in the hotel, but they also have a mini gym in every room. And when I first went there, everybody was young. They were all these young road warriors going to different parts of the country for business. And I was too. I wasn't such a young one. I was an old road warrior, but I was there too. Well, about 6 months ago when I went for the 40th time, everybody was much older. About 2 months ago, they were older still. And so you began to see how many people who are older are still working, want those same kind of amenities. They want to have their gym every single day and make it easy for them before they go to their meeting or their committee or whatever it is. And it's not just a young person's game anymore. Wellness and work have become a very important continuum as we get older, or even if we have our own business, we want to keep it that way. But one thing in the last few seconds of this segment that I do have to bring up is we do change as we get older. We look different. We use the spa differently. We think of beauty differently and treatments differently. And I want Peter Anderson to change his hat yet again
and talk to us in the next segment about what's new at the spa, because he's always going to global wellness meetings and conferences, and actually has been the consultant to most of the big-name spas that you know in one way or another. Some of them you can afford, some of them you can't, but it all filters down to
you
your day spa, your pedicure, your salon. We'll be right back, and we'll
see not
you.
Even a bit, 'cause I am happy, and I freely admit I'm inappropriate for my age. Da-da-da-da.
Okay, we're going to go on to segment three, and we're going to talk about that, obviously. Still, I know you just got a call in there. What was going on there? So that conference that just was... you know, quickly told to us is actually was a mistake. So that's good. We don't have to rush through this as much as we are.
Okay.
Okay, Peter. But we'll. But we're
okay.
ready for the next. We're ready.
Sure. Sure.
You may think that I'm full of it, but that doesn't bother me not even a bit, 'cause I am happy.
And hello. This is Adrienne Berg, and this is Generation Bold, the Fountain of Truth. And, you know, when I work with these stations, our wonderful stations, and a shout-out to everybody who is carrying us on this show, the only syndicated show, nationally syndicated show on aging, I send a little promo every week. And Peter Anderson is my guest this week, and he is the founder of Anderson & Associates, and he is a consultant to many hospitality facilities, to spa facilities, beauty facilities, and he's working now in the field of assisted living, aging, and residences for the mature. And we'll talk about that in the next segment of our show. But I was very tempted when I did the promo for you, Peter, only to say that Peter makes you beautiful, because I knew if I said that, I'd have many more people listening to the show than if I said anything else. I'll give you one quick anecdote. Peter Anderson is located on the West Coast, and there was a wonderful, wonderful woman who was one of the first journalists in the field of aging. And she wrote so many articles for the Times and the Post, but she wrote it all out in California. And she said to me, you know, personally, you want to know the article that I wrote that most people read more than any other article? I said, what was it? She said, it was when I got my plastic surgery and I told people about my facelift. Everybody read it. So I know for sure for my audience where they're at. What's going on at the spa that we should know about if we're at least 40 plus and maybe 60 plus?
Interesting question. Well, lots are happening at the spa. There's a big shift away from, there's a big shift towards integrated wellness. And probably the easiest way to describe this, even in the context of a facelift, is skincare. Now, skin is your largest organ. And your skin is pretty much something that is a mirror of your lifestyle in terms of how well you take care of yourself, how much sleep you get, the quality of your nutrition. And for years and years, spas would enhance your skin with external treatments, with exfoliation, with steam, with infusions, and that still happens. But in addition to a lot of tremendous skincare, the spa industry has taken a step to say, well, let's look at the nutrition and the diet and the emotional well-being of our guests, and what can we do to promote wellness from the inside out. So in many ways, the spa industry has taken an additional step to look at the integrated whole of the person. And it's just more, it enhances in a very authentic way what they've historically done, but at a much deeper level.
Now, of course, one of the things that we know about is injectables and other types of things that used to be only for the bailiwick of a doctor. You might get Botox, and you might have gotten collagen treatments and Restylane and all the shots years ago at the very beginning, but it was either a dermatologist, an MD, or a plastic surgeon. And now we have a whole new world of cosmetologists, estheticians. They have different kinds of licenses. It depends on where they are in the country, how much licensing they need. And they're doing these things. Of course, I've been at the Beverly Hills Mall, where you can get your Botox from a little cart in the hall, and other places where you have to have a medical doctor looking to see what's going on. With the spa, has there now been this melding of wellness, medicine, and beauty? Is there overlaps now? And is it? I find that there is, and a bit confusing to the consumer. But what does the industry say?
Well, it can be a little bit confusing because, for instance, when you look at what a medical spa is, we don't have one clear definition or a line of demarcation from an aesthetic spa to a medical spa to a wellness center. So you're exactly right that there is a lot of gray area and a lot of overlap. It's important to realize, though, that anytime you puncture the skin, anytime you break that barrier, you know, there is medical intervention. So even if it is a kiosk somewhere as part of a mall or a spa, anybody that is going to do something that is invasive like that is going to be regulated or supervised through some facet of the American Medical Association, be it a nurse or a plastic surgeon or a combination thereof. So there's still very, very strict guidelines to ensure the health and safety of the clientele. However, the fact that there's Botox and there's injectables. Botox pretty much paralyzes your skin, makes us look 10 years younger with very little effort because your cells are effectively frozen. Using that type of a treatment in combination with a tremendous facial and a good nutritional program is the kind of direction that we're seeing the beauty, medical, and wellness environments go. So they're basically taking the best practices of each one of those silos and incorporating them to create an effect that is that is synergistic, is better than any one of the three individually.
And the interesting part, too, is it democratizes a little bit because when you deal with Botox or Dysport, it's not that expensive. I mean, certainly not everybody can afford it, but it's very, very much less invasive. It's much cheaper than actually having a facelift. Put that together with good food and some meditation, and you're getting maybe 80% of the results you would get if you were putting tons of money, tons of time, and tons of pain in it. So I think that's where it's going. Together, I hope, with the fact that we're looking at older faces differently and with greater acceptance and with greater feelings of beauty, although they used to say that only the French could do that, I think we're seeing beautiful stars now that are older, and we're accepting that. But I don't know if that's infiltrating the market. Does it really sell, or is it just wishful thinking on my part, Peter?
It's a little of both. I think as our population ages, we realize that we earn our wrinkles, we earn our laugh lines, and so to sidestep them completely creates a level of inauthenticity. And some people can get away with that, and some people embrace that. But there's others of us that realize that a little bit of what is classically considered imperfection is actually quite a bit of perfection. And so, yes, you're exactly right. The idea of the definition of beauty, the definition of aesthetically pleasing shifts as our collective consciousness embraces different profiles of what that is. And
Yeah, I don't know if you read this or any of us listening, any of you guys listening read about this spat, I'm going to call it a spat, I don't know what to call it, between Jane Fonda, right, and one of the kind of leading folks in newscasting when the interviewer asked about her facelift. And this was something that Jane Fonda didn't want to talk about. She wanted to talk about her political abilities and her acting abilities, which she thought was so much more important than the facelift. The interviewer, Megyn Kelly, wanted to talk about the facelift, and it was taken as almost like an insult, you know, or an aggressive act. And I thought back to my friend who knew that from a news point of view, her facelift was more important than all the other things that she had been doing. It made more news. So it really is interesting. We don't know yet what to make of or think of ourselves when we change our face or to think of other people when they change their face. I think that it's the jury's out as to how culturally we still look at this. How does the industry look at it? They just want to make money on it and they call it anti-aging still, or do they have any better words for this?
Well, anti-aging, I mean, as you and I have both talked in the past, death is the definition of anti-aging. And the market is becoming more and more aware of that anti-aging is really a bit of a misnomer. But certainly, I think when we look at the industry that is promoting health, wellness, and beauty with the emphasis on beauty, it's such a personal decision. That really creating environments where the customer can select how they want to define their beauty is probably the safest and most supportive way to go. I mean, clearly Jane Fonda is a beautiful woman, but
right. And
there's no way that she looks as if she is her age. You know, women that are 80 years old do not have have wrinkles. You know, they
have
laugh lines.
They don't have cheeks. You're sensing it. We're at the end of our segment. I hate to cut you off, but I'm going to continue with this. Because I want to know what to do. I'm going to go down and dirty.
I'm inappropriate
going to tell.
For my age. Da 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 da.
Okay, so we are in our last segment, but I want to divide it into two parts. One is, and I'll give you a second to think about it, what you've seen recently that you think is new and innovative, okay?
Okay.
In the field. And then I want to get into how all this is bringing you personally on a path that has to do with environments for aging, because the hospitality, the wellness realty, the spa and beauty, they all feed into that, so we'll talk about what's new there, okay?
Okay, great.
Anything else that you're dying to bring out that you're afraid we'll miss?
No, I'm actually going to talk about acupuncture facelifts for what's new.
Oh, wonderful. I wanted to have one. They give it here for about $80. So now, you see, because of you, I'm going to go have one. All right, hold 1 second, Sue. All right, we're ready.
You may think that I'm full of it, but that doesn't bother me, not even a bit, because I am happy, and I freely admit I'm inappropriate for my age.
And hello, hello once again. This is Adrienne Berg, and this is Generation Bold, the Fountain of Truth. It's the Fountain of Truth about aging. And we talk about wellness real estate. We're speaking with Peter Anderson, who's the founder of Anderson & Associates, a well-known West Coast firm that is the consultant all over the world to hospitality industry, housing industry, spas, probably the very spas you go to if you go to brand-name spas, on what's new, what's important to the mature guest. So we just talked about just the way we feel almost philosophically or culturally about facelifts, Botox, this sort of thing, and how the industry is catering to it. But I asked a down and dirty question, which is, you go all over, Peter, you see products, new services? What do you think is new and useful? Is there anything we haven't heard of that's on the horizon?
Well, you know, there is a deluge of new products, and it's dizzying to try to keep up with the products, the trends, the procedures. But, and so I would not claim to say that this is new, but in the last few years, it's new to me, and I'm seeing more of it in the market, are acupuncture facelifts. And effectively, what happens is that traditionally a surgeon would, cut your skin and pull your muscles to a place where you're defying gravity and your skin is smoother and your muscles are tighter. In an acupuncture environment, it's so much less invasive, and they stimulate the muscles, the muscle junctures with the bone, so that the muscles are tightened, similar in a surgical procedure, but it's done in a much more natural way, and so there isn't that that reach that sometimes certain plastic surgeons will create a face that doesn't look quite as real as it might. It doesn't take you back to when you were 30 or 40, but, gives you a completely different look. So acupuncture facials use the same principles as surgery without in a much less invasive environment. And there's also, in addition to the muscle tightening, there's lots and lots of hydration, moisturizing, firming. And so this procedure lasts about 2 hours. And to get maximum effect, it takes about 6 or 8 procedures, depending on where you're starting from and where you want to end up. It's much less expensive than a traditional surgical situation, and a lot safer, and there's no downtime. And so I'm seeing this kind of thing where we're looking at traditional Chinese medicine, we're looking at other types of wellness modalities that actually enhance some of the treatments that historically we've seen happen through Western medicine or through traditional traditional spa environments.
We have a local acupuncturist, and I've used acupuncture for a very different thing, and that is I was really, really seasick. I got seasick so much that I couldn't go on even a regular cruise in a big boat. And I had the opportunity to go on a small boat called the Gullet, which is a Turkish boat, around the Greek islands as a journalist. And who would want to say no to that? Nobody. So I said, what should I do? And every pill didn't matter. Someone suggested, have acupuncture, which I did for curing seasickness. And I will tell you, I was the best sailor, and I still am the best sailor ever. And it was a shock to me that it worked. Yeah, and I was way over 60. This wasn't like a kid doing it. It was not that long ago. So I wonder, though, when you're seeing these acupuncture facelifts, we'll call it, are they being provided by traditional Chinese medicine folks like I went to? Or is it the Canyon Ranches of the world and the Mirabelles and all the ones that use the expensive stuff? Where are they coming into the market from?
I am still seeing it done in a traditional Chinese environment. I haven't seen a lot of this in mainstream spas, and that doesn't mean it's not happening there. But the interesting part of acupuncture aesthetics is that it really takes a very practiced hand, a very skilled, intuitive healer to get it right. And to that end, it's not as formulaic that you can train and replicate easily. So a lot of the best ones are still kind of in traditional medical environments. And, in those medical environments are often attached to Western hospitals. It's not as if you're going to a back room somewhere, far from that. They're mainstream medicine, but they're not necessarily, I have not seen them on the acupuncture rejuvenation on mainstream spa menus.
But, as soon as it has a name, acupuncture aesthetics, we know it's in. You see, it has to have the name first, and I didn't hear the name before, so now that you've said it, mm-hmm. it is, it's called into being. Well, you know, we only have a minute or two left, and as always, there's so much to cover. One of the things I wanted to cover that we actually can't is using all of these trends, we'll call them, in hospitality, in wellness or real estate, in aesthetics, physical aesthetics, and how it's going to impact another industry that you consult with, which is the industry of assisted living, over 55 communities, what we call the mature residential trends today, and even aging in place, even staying at home. So what I'm going to do, because it's clearly a topic that's perfect for our show, is I'm simply going to invite you to be our guest again and devote some time to just that. What can we expect if we do retire? Perhaps we move to a new residence, which we think is going to be forever, but then we get into our 80s or even 85 because there is so much longevity, and we move yet again. And this time it's to a place that has some kind of medical model associated with it or an independent living where you can go into assisted living. Are we going to be carrying through, Peter, the same ideas of wellness and beauty and vitality, or are we really fooling ourselves that things have really changed in these environments? So I'm going to invite you back. I hope you say yes. Say yes.
Oh, absolutely, yes. 1,000 times yes.
And we thank you so much. Go ahead.
No, we will see changes. I look forward to discussing that with you in the future.
Yeah, we will, and we've been speaking with Peter Anderson, who is the founder of Anderson and Associates, who sees the clouds of change when it comes to the mature market from so many aspects and angles that are all coming home to roost. And you guys, get out there. Okay, so that's great. We got another show out of this for another time. Maybe
great.
On that one we could even have the rest of the ebook folks. Maybe we'll just do an ebook show. And
oh, that would be great.
Each of the four, the mighty four, can have a segment. Mm-hmm. And I don't need one, so you could have two. And then them could have one. And it would be kind of cool. I think that would be nice.
Maybe we could
even rehearse it a little bit and it could be something that we could put in the ebook, you know, like a link to it or something like that. We'll see. That's something I didn't think about.
I love it. Love the idea. Let's see. I've gotten back to school and I have a couple of projects that I am pushing through. But the one thing with Canyon Ranch, Rancho La Puerta, met some people the other day that finance wellness development. And there's one group out of Dallas that specializes in senior living. Now, I got their card Tuesday night at a Cornell function. There's a big investment conference early in the week here. It's called the American Lodging Investment Summit. And 2,000 attendees. And it's all of the major players in hospitality real estate.
Wow.
And Cornell, because of who they are, we have a reception every at this conference, and there's probably about 400 or 500 people at the reception. Mm-hmm. So about 40% of the attendees have that connection. And I met some people at that reception that I think might be able to push or be helpful in pushing our process forward a little bit. But I've spoken with Joe and Nancy since right before you interviewed Joe last week.
Right,
and
right.
They're very timid about moving forward, and I'm not sure exactly what that's about. I think it's deference to Deborah Zake, and they don't want to appear to be too pushy. But I haven't had time, and I won't have time until tomorrow to send out an email, and I will send one out to everybody saying, you know, I've met these people, and, you know, while we may not be ready to move, at least we're starting to line up some of the pieces. So that's a little bit exciting.
Yeah, well, that is good. Let me just tell you, again, nothing terribly relevant, but a funny thing. You had asked me to get a hold of the fellow from La Paz, Mexico.
La Paz, right.
And I did not yet. I'm telling you, I didn't yet. And there was a reason, funny reason. Google called us to say that we owned 43 URLs. And did we really want 43? You know, because we weren't using them, and it was costing $10 a shot.
Right.
And not Google, but GoDaddy. GoDaddy, not Google. And
right.
What they really wanted us to do is consolidate it and pay them one big amount to save money. So they wanted to, it was a way for them to get more money in, but faster. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
But I didn't realize. I said to myself, my God, what do we have 43 URLs for? So I looked them up, and of course, most of them we didn't need, and we let them go. But one, I own the URL for that La Paz community. And I said,
really?
Okay. Yes, all this time.
How funny.
Pelicano Bay. And I actually own, I think, pelicanobay.com and .net or, you know, something like that. So when I saw that, I thought, whoa, I really have to call this guy. And at least on that basis, you know, start to talk to him. And I didn't, because I just was kind of waiting to hear from you exactly what you wanted me to talk to him about, because I was really waiting to meet with, like, to do the Joe interview and all that, and then to give him a call.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know,
but
the thing is, when Joe
take my call.
He has to. Now, well, when Joe and Nancy said, yeah, well, Rancho La Puerta is looking to expand, and then they said, but we want to take this slowly, and we don't want to be too aggressive, because my thought was they want to expand. Well, let's sit down and have lunch and talk for a couple of hours of what expansion might look like. You know, because we can say you should expand this way, that way, or the other way, but I'm sure with 75 years of operation and all these vetted professionals, they may have a concept. They have to have an idea.
Right.
And
so I
probably owe them now another pass, because when I gave them, I sent them an email that basically said, let's look at expansion. I said, I hope I'm not overreaching or pushing this in a direction that's inappropriate. But if expansion is about senior living, you know, these are the things we can do. I'll dig up the email and send it to you. But I basically said, if they're expanding programs, you know, this is how we can help them. If they're expanding facilities, this is how we can help them. And if they're expanding a combination of the two, maybe we should be looking at it this way. But absent their input, it's all academic.
Well, you should know. So now, as I can tell you, I have a real reason that I got to call the guy from La Paz. I have no choice. So whenever you're giving me some more information about what to talk to him about, it's fine. If I don't get it in the next, say, 2-3 weeks, I'm going to call him anyway and see where he's at.
Yeah. Well,
okay,
I will send them an email and say, you know, is this something we need to put on the back burner, or is this something, is there a way to move this forward without being too pushy?
Right. Now, with regard to the ebook, that, you know, is in Dana's hands right now, right?
Okay.
Because I don't know if you saw what I sent about a little less than 10 days ago. But I
right.
redid.
Right.
You got to
everything?
See on it.
Yeah.
No.
Right, right.
I didn't touch anybody else's words.
No, but
you
did a lot of work on your own section.
I did a lot of work on my own and some reorganization, you know, of the ebook, but I don't have her program, so she had to make it look nice. So I sent it to her. She understood it. She wrote back to me. It's on me now, meaning her, and I'm going to go look. So... it's, you know, except for one big question I had about my thing, which was the example I gave was a spa instead of Lensing, was a spa instead of a assisted living community. So I asked her whether she thought maybe I should change that example. I didn't hear from her yet. She's working on it. But it's near close to the end, and I've got 4 or 5 things to do with it when it's really done. One is our friend Colin Milner, right? To look at maybe endorse it and maybe give us an opportunity to speak at his conference. Submitting it to EFA as a basis of speaking there for the next one, whenever that is. Submitting it to one that I think is coming up in November. And sending it to a couple of web newsletters that I think get a lot of reading.
Okay.
One's called seekhousing.com, you know, like that.
Right.
So those are just like the immediate, you know, things to do with it. That's just the promotion of it. But
mm-hmm.
reaching out, but I think that the real business thing is having a real meeting on the phone with the four of us and see where we go next to, you know, solicit, to make some kind of a package that we offer. We've talked about it a lot, but, you know, it's
right.
a work in progress.
So when is it good for you for us to have that conversation?
I'm ready now, but Dana may want to wait at least till she's done with the ebook part. I don't know.
Okay.
But you and I can always have that conversation. You know,
oh, absolutely.
I'm figuring if we want to, we can wait until April. I mean, I'm going to be out there for some period of time.
Right.
And
I have a little time this weekend to go through in greater detail the whole book again and get some ideas. And maybe at some point next week, you and I should have a conversation.
Right.
I mean, I like the guys, and I look forward to working with them. All of that is wonderful. But I also want to make sure that we, you know, we don't get married until we're finished dating.
Right. So read the last thing that I sent. Don't read what Dana sent. Read the one after it. I hope it's readable because it is in a different program, but try to read it. If you can't read it, you have to read it in that format. No, go ahead. If you can't, Stuart may be able to put it in Word. But see if you can read it in the format that she sent it to me in, which is the one I sent to
you. Okay.
Okay,
I will take a look at that.
So you should just know it's going to take me a year, but what I'm really doing, and it sounds horrible, but I'm unraveling my life, because I have to unravel it before I can put it together again. I have to sell this and sell that and, you know, take care of the other thing and
mm-hmm.
get myself out of the financial firm, which is wonderful. I don't want to leave them but I'm not so sure that I want to bring them over to California, which is what they want me to do. If I possibly can, I may really want to just work on this, be, you know, sufficiently independent
mm-hmm.
and then financially, and then really work on this. I love it so much. So, okay, that's what's going on.
Okay, and the thing is, a year is really no time at all.
No, it really isn't.
When you really, I mean, I had my teeth cleaned this morning, and I have to make appointments two in advance because the guy is so busy. And I made my tooth cleaning appointment for September, and I'm thinking, you know, it's going to be here before I know it.
Crazy.
And,
all right.
And it's like,
great,
so
great,
yeah,
show.
A year is nothing. Well,
thank
you.
We'll
I really enjoy that.
Yeah,
take care.
Take care. Bye, everybody.
Okay, bye-bye.